almost half of Texas residents are vaccinated, and it's estimated that at this rate, the state will reach herd immunity, or 70% vaccinated, by November. Now that mask mandates have eased up, things are starting to feel almost like the old normal. But some areas are coming up against a major obstacle, vaccine hesitancy. It's led cities like Lubbock and Odessa to shift to targeted efforts to get shots in arms. This is Listen in Lubbock. Welcome to Listen in Lubbock. I'm your host, Casey Ellingson, the news director here at Texas Tech Public Media. I'm in the studio today with our senior reporter, Sarasolf Walbrick. There have been some big announcements recently regarding COVID-19 restrictions. Last week, the CDC said that vaccinated people no longer need to wear face masks inside. And this week, Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order barring government entities from requiring masks. Sarah, what exactly does this mean?
So the latest order prohibits any government entity. So that includes public schools, city and county offices, certain places like that. This new order prohibits them from requiring masking in their buildings. So this is building off of the rescinding of the mask mandate back in March. At that point, Governor Abbott said that you no longer had to wear a mask unless a private business kind of requested you to. So this is just kind of building off that recommendation, or that this is building off of other orders that he's previously instated.
I see. So I think it's fair to say that the main driving factor behind these lifted regulations is the fact that we now have this vaccine, or these vaccines, I should say. How has that been going in Lubbock?
It's Governor Abbott definitely listed that as one of the reasons in the news release about the newest order. And I mean, vaccination's going well. So Lubbock started off really strong. We have seen those numbers go down as access to the vaccine becomes wider. We're really to a point that everyone who is going to get it eagerly has gotten it. So we're in a really interesting stage in vaccine distribution, in my opinion. So, most people in Lubbock probably got their COVID-19 vaccines at the vaccination hub that was at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center that recently closed. As the Civic Center was starting to host events again, they needed the space. And then also, I mean, they were just seeing a huge decline in demand. I volunteered at the vaccination site back in April, and that was kind of the point that things had started to slow down. And just my day that I spent there, I very much like understood why they were going to close that center down soon, because it served its purpose. Its time was up. Mm-hmm. So now they're focusing on more targeted efforts, reaching out to specific communities. And so far, about 42% of Lubbock County residents have gotten at least one vaccine. And sorry, I should highlight that's Lubbock County residents who are over age 12. Now that they've recently expanded vaccinations to those younger age groups, and 36% are considered fully vaccinated. Those numbers are not fantastic. It is worth noting, though, that our senior population, the majority of those people who are the most vulnerable to severe effects of COVID-19, the majority of those more at-risk people have been vaccinated. So I think that's at least one good thing. And then statewide, we are just hovering under 50% mm-hmm. of Texans who are vaccinated.
Okay. And so I'm curious, locally, what's changed? You said that only 36% of Lubbock's population is fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. What has shifted to make that demand start going down?
I think it comes down to, again, like as I said, I think the people who were waiting for the vaccine opportunity have gotten it at this point. You know, we saw access and availability really increase a few months ago now, back in March. That's when I got my shot. I had the opportunity to get mine the first day that the Civic Center had extras and had opened it up to pretty much anyone who wanted to go. And so I think that's the big thing, is that we're just seeing a shift in demand as we're seeing more vaccines come online. So it's definitely going to be an uphill battle mm-hmm. To get the rest of eligible people vaccinated.
So I'm curious, going back a couple of months to the Johnson & Johnson situation, did that mishap contribute much to vaccine hesitancy and mistrust in this process from what you have reported on and seen?
Yes, in some ways. You know, I saw a lot of national stories that suggested that the situation with the Johnson & Johnson shot should actually increase our confidence in these vaccines. They caught the side effect pretty early. They researched it. They figured out that it was okay to put back on the market. But for people who are already hesitant or concerned about the possible side effects, I mean, I don't think it did anything to help them. So I think that was definitely a hiccup in this process. I recently spoke with Wesley Wells, who is the regional pharmacy director for Covenant Health. He had some interesting insight on kind of what's next for vaccine distribution.
Really figuring out who are the populations that are at risk, also those populations that can't get to the vaccine easily. While the mass vaccination site works really well, that's only one spot. And so we really need to meet people where they're at. We really need to partner with people that communities believe in.
Partnering with people that communities believe in, communities in Lubbock, who would that be out here in Lubbock? Who's he talking about?
I think one of the big things that we're seeing specifically from the city of Lubbock's health department is partnering with churches. That's going to be somewhere that you feel safe and that you do trust, you know, what the people, what your congregation is sharing with you about their experiences. So I think that's one form of outreach that will prove productive, but they're also reaching out to, you know, different community centers, events. The health department had a fairly successful vaccine clinic at a Texas Tech baseball game a few months ago, and I know that they got several shots in arms. One thing that I think is really interesting, I think just taking out kind of the scheduling and planning aspect of this, if you can literally just walk up somewhere and get your vaccine and you're good, I think that takes away one complicated layer for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I know a lot of people are having to go, what was the vaccine center, like 10 to 4, 10 to 2 were the hours?
Yeah. And so I think, and really we're seeing that with our private providers as well. So a lot of the pharmacies in town, whether that be CVS, Walgreens, United Supermarkets, they're to a point that like you can just walk up there as well. You know, if you can just get your shot while you're doing your grocery shopping, that's so easy. Yeah, you should probably do a little bit of planning for potential side effects, things like that. I know I personally, after my second shot, I was achy the next day, but that was pretty much it. I've heard a lot of other people who had much worse side effects, but, you know, I think that taking out that kind of scheduling and preparation element of it will hopefully help more people get it. You know, if it's right there, there's no excuse, or there's fewer excuses to get it.
Now, speaking of people who are more hesitant to get the vaccine, that's really not anything new. I think a lot of us have heard about the myth that certain vaccines lead to autism or that the flu shot actually gives you the flu. What's contributing to the reluctance to get the COVID-19 vaccine right now?
Sure, especially in Texas, there is a pretty vocal vaccine hesitancy group who is out there. And yeah, I think it goes back to general lack of trust. And some of that's just, you know, I see so many folks who are concerned about how quickly the vaccine was rolled out. And of course, you know, once you do some research, you find out that, yeah, like this specific vaccine was produced pretty quickly. But the science has been around for a long time. We were building off of other things. This is not completely new. So I think doing some of that deeper research is helpful. But overall, I think one of the bigger problems is misinformation. Unfortunately, everyone's on Facebook and the doctors on our Facebook pages, you know, everyone's become an epidemiologist in the past year. And I don't think that's helping in a lot of situations. So I think that's definitely an uphill battle that our public health officials are going to have to continue to fight.
It sounds like that's where having a person or entity that a community trusts will definitely or hopefully alleviate that some. When thinking about communities, I know nationwide, communities of color, and specifically in Lubbock, the Hispanic community, was hit especially hard by the virus. Is this the community they're targeting for the vaccine in these efforts?
Racial equity has been a big concern throughout the pandemic, but including during vaccine distribution. So I think there have been conscious efforts to reach out to communities of color to make sure that they understand the vaccine and combat the misinformation in those specific communities as well. So I know that we are seeing that in Lubbock. The vaccine rate for our Hispanic population is pretty good. It's close to on par with the percent of population in the city. So I think that's a really important thing that we are keeping in mind as we go through this process. But really, we know both statewide and nationally, there's data that shows that white conservative people are more hesitant to get the vaccine at this point. So it, I think we've seen some strategy shift in light of that insight as well.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, Lubbock is by no means the only community experiencing this vaccine hesitancy. This is something we're seeing all over the state and the nation, as you said. When we come back, Mitch Borden from Marfa Public Radio will join me from Marfa to talk about what he's seeing in his area. Stay with us. Welcome back to Listen in Lubbock. I'm your host, Casey Ellingson, with the Texas Tech Public Media Newsroom. Mitch Borden from Marfa Public Radio is going to jump in this conversation. We're talking about the COVID-19 vaccine, specifically vaccine hesitancy, that's causing a drop in distribution. Mitch, you recently reported on the decline in demand in Odessa. Not long ago, they had a pretty massive vaccine distribution center, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, they had a drive-through vaccination clinic at a local football stadium. It was actually the football stadium where the Permian Panthers, you know, from Friday Night Lights actually play.
Oh, wow.
This setup was run by Odessa's Medical Center Hospital, which is the largest medical provider in the community. You know, hundreds of cars would line up on the days this vaccination clinic was open. And, you know, hospital staff would average around 1,500 to 2,000 vaccines a day. It was a really efficient system. It even surprised local leaders how smoothly it ran. And, you know, people across the region flocked to Odessa and as well as its neighboring city, Midland, for both the community's mass vaccination clinics. But that was, you know, a few months ago at this point, and now we've just seen demand for vaccinations bottom out.
In Lubbock, they shut down our vaccine center because we saw something similar as the demand dropped. So did they do the same out there? Did that vaccine center eventually shut down?
Yeah, in Odessa, it shut down in the beginning of March, like just at the beginning. And they transitioned to doing more vaccines in like doctor's offices run by Medical Center Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that resulted in just like a fraction of the people who turned out for the drive-through clinic ended up coming out for vaccines at these offices. And, you know, right now, the Odessa area is lagging way behind. And I just looked this morning, and for individuals 12 and older, only about like 35% have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine.
Oh, wow.
While almost 50% of Texans who are eligible have received their first shot.
Wow. So in that area, do you know why the demand dropped so much?
You can ask people on the street and health officials and you hear the same thing. And it's probably what we're hearing across the state. It's basically everyone who wanted a vaccine, you know, they were in that line at the football stadium to get their shot. They went out to doctor's offices. And now most of the people who haven't gotten their vaccine are the ones who are more leery to get the vaccine or just don't want to get it. And, you know, there are the pockets of people who just don't know they have access to it yet or haven't known where to get it, which, you know, hospitals are currently working on reaching out to.
Now, in your recent story, you had a really interesting conversation with Shay Meyer, a local pharmacy owner, about not only her reaction to receiving the first shipment of the vaccine, but also when the demand dropped suddenly. Tell me what she shared with you.
Yeah, you know, her pharmacy first got their first shipment way back in January, and then there was like a long window where they got no vaccines because the state kind of switched to sending vaccines to hubs like Medical Center Hospital.
Mm.
But like when she first got that box of, I believe it was Moderna vaccines, she teared up. She was like, this is over.
Mm.
We're light at the end of the tunnel. This is the beginning of the end of a terrible year. And basically recently she's seen just a huge drop off of people like coming into her pharmacy to get vaccines. Because, you know, once Sunflower Rx, which is her pharmacy, got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they were doing like 50, 60 people a day sometimes. Like they were doing a few hundred vaccines a week. It was pretty steady. They had like a list of like over 1,000 people who wanted the vaccine. And then early April, you know, Johnson & Johnson, you know, got put on pause for rare side effects. And after that happened, even though her pharmacy had the Moderna vaccine still, it just went quiet. Like the phone stopped ringing. People just stopped really coming in. Like there was a trickle of people, but just the numbers they were seeing consistently just like evaporated.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, did she share her thoughts on seeing that decline with you?
Yeah, she was really frustrated, especially when, you know, she's also seeing people take their masks off and, you know, just walk around like the pandemic's over, even though it's not. And a lot of, you know, the majority of people in the Midland Odessa area, you know, haven't received a vaccine yet. So she was just kind of like disheartened and disappointed in her community in a lot of ways.
Another person from your story that really jumped out at me was Timothy Callahan, who's a professor at Texas A&M, and he researches vaccine hesitancy. He said, "The thing we do need to recognize is the more people who get vaccinated, the harder the task becomes." That's interesting. What did he mean by that?
I think I kind of said this earlier, but like in a certain amount of the American population in Texas, the people who were just chomping at the bit to get the vaccine, we saw those people rush and look and find the vaccine for themselves. And we're still seeing that to a certain extent, but like at a certain point we hit this plateau, right? Where everyone who's like had that desire to get a shot, who took it seriously, who've been vigilant, those people at a certain point got their vaccine. And then we're left with everyone else. The common sense answer I've heard from people on the ground and, you know, health officials like Timothy Callahan are just saying like, yeah, everyone who got it, that like flood is over. And now it's like a war of attrition pretty much to convince people and educate people and find the right messengers to get more and more people vaccinated. Because a real worry that I hear from local officials and I hear, you know, in coverage across the nation is that the less people who get vaccinated means the more this virus will spread, which means potentially more variants. And variants could eventually at some point, you know, make the vaccine a lot of us have gotten already, including myself, you know, null and void and like put us back to where we were, you know, last fall, which is really scary for health officials, especially as like, yeah, there is a lot of hope right now as we're seeing hospitalizations go down and a lot of people have their vaccine. So we just don't want to backtrack. The one thing I am watching that I'm really interested in, and this is like in Odessa, but this is more in Midland because the hospital there is actually doing this, is that this week and next week they're doing clinics at schools. So I'm really interested in seeing how many kids and how many parents actually turn out to these school vaccination clinics for 12 to 15 to 18 year olds, you know, and just seeing if there's like an even lower turnout or a high turnout for children in Midland.
That'll be really interesting to see. Now, Sarah mentioned earlier that Lubbock is seeing a similar trend in a decline in demand for the vaccine. And so the response that our city has had is to start looking for trusted partners like churches out here to help with that distribution. And you've kind of started to allude to this. I'm curious what they're doing in Odessa in your area to get reluctant people vaccinated or just get the word out there to the people who may not know they have access to it.
Yeah, Medical Center was doing a similar thing, you know, reaching out to churches. That was a big part of their initial push. I think they're interested in partnering with shelters, even workplaces, employers, whoever will like hold these events. But in the last briefing they held, which was a few weeks ago, they said they actually had to cancel some of these recently because there just wasn't people signing up for them.
Wow.
And I actually spoke to a spokesperson who said they're having their chaplain cold call churches to see if they would have these events. And yeah, so they're kind of just at the stage where they're like asking people to hold these events and see who'd be willing to hold these events. And I even went to one of these, which was in the story I recently reported on. And, you know, usually they see probably 60 people turn out to these like, you know, 2-hour events at these churches and other places, community centers. And the one I was at, it was about 25 people in 2 hours. So it was really, really quiet. The hospital staff didn't really have a lot of explanations why the numbers were so low. They had some thoughts, but not a lot. They weren't pessimistic. They're really good at being like, you know, every shot in an arm is like a good thing. But it was kind of like jolting to see such a low turnout to one of these free vaccination events at what I would call maybe a mega church. When just a few months ago, I was seeing hundreds of cars lined up at a local football stadium to get their shot. So, I'm sure it can't be easy for local officials as they see these numbers starting to tick down for vaccination rates, as like they know there's a long way to go.
Definitely. Thank you, Mitch. Mitch Borden is a reporter for Marfa Public Radio. We're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Listen in Lubbock. I'm joined again by Sarah Self-Walbrick, our senior reporter. Sarah, Covenant Health Center recently held a press event where they gave some updates on the coronavirus. What did they share with you?
Yeah, so it was a really interesting update. You know, we kind of haven't had any in a while. Lubbock's been very fortunate that the spread of coronavirus in our community has gone down so much that we hadn't gotten as many updates here lately. So it was good to check in. One of the big things that I learned is that, you know, going back to November and December, when we saw just an absolute flood of COVID patients in our hospital, you know, we were considered a national hotspot at that point. And that was only, you know, six-ish months ago, which is crazy to me. We've seen a huge shift since then. And one epidemiologist at Covenant Health, Dr. Prakash Shrestha, he really attributed that to vaccinations. So we know that, you know, vaccinations are not going to stop you from getting COVID-19, but they significantly decrease your risk of having severe effects of it that would require hospitalizations. And that's true across whatever brand of vaccine you have access to. So what they're seeing right now at Covenant Health is that at least when I spoke with them, all of the patients that were hospitalized with COVID-19 complications, which was about a dozen people when I did these interviews, each of those people were not vaccinated. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that, like, that is making a huge difference when it comes to our hospitalization rate. Here's a little bit more from Dr. Shrestha.
At one point, we had more than 100 patients in the hospital, you know, who had presented with COVID. Now we have had about 15 to 20 patients in the past several months. Most of these patients who are coming in with COVID-19, they are not vaccinated. So we don't see people who have been vaccinated coming to the hospital with serious infections.
Now, it's still very awful to hear about these hospitalizations, but honestly, it's such a relief to hear that so far the vaccines seem to be effective. Did he share anything else worth mentioning?
We talked a little bit about some of the COVID-19 and coronavirus variants that we're seeing develop. We have those in our community. Some of those have been confirmed here. But really, the situation in India, for example, and some other hotspots across the world. I mean, we're seeing these different variants develop, and that's causing new problems. So this isn't necessarily much of the case here yet, but we do know that these variants are affecting younger people differently. We're seeing a lot more hospitalizations of, you know, younger age groups due to that. But we do know, at least as of right now, all research indicates that the current COVID-19 vaccines that we have in the market are protective for those variants as well. So just another reason to get the shot, you know, make sure that you're protecting yourself from what could come and could develop with COVID-19.
Absolutely. Now, you talked about how the city has targeted their efforts to distribute the vaccine. Are health centers doing something similar?
I think so. I think, again, it goes back to we're seeing such a shift in the access. You know, if we think back to earlier this year where there was way higher demand than there was supply of any COVID-19 vaccine, it's just a completely, like, flip-flop story. At this point, we have way more supply than we do demand. So I think that when it comes to our health centers, whether that be your doctor's office, your pharmacies, whatever, their big goal right now is to further reduce those barriers to accessing vaccines. And I think they've done, as I said, like, I think I've seen, I know at United, you can just walk up now. That's a game changer. So
yeah.
I think we're just seeing that shift as well to just make this as easy as possible to hopefully take away another barrier to people getting this.
And wasn't it United partnering with the campus to distribute the vaccine on campus?
Yeah, so that was a big effort. Actually, about a week before the Johnson & Johnson shot was paused, I visited the on-campus COVID-19 vaccine clinic, and they had specifically been waiting for the Johnson & Johnson one-dose shot to come online because it made sense for college students, especially as we got closer to summer break. Getting these kids vaccinated before they went home was a big goal that made a lot of sense. So obviously the pause on Johnson & Johnson affected that, but they were able to get that back up and running. I think they offered Moderna as well at that point, just in case somebody wasn't comfortable with the Johnson & Johnson. And I think that that made a huge, huge difference. So yeah, they've, I think all of our entities in Lubbock who are giving vaccines are, you know, working out those kinks, figuring out the best way to get these shots in arms. And that seems like at least one solution is making it accessible and going to people when that's needed.
Definitely. Now let's go back to the recent announcements about mask mandates. Mm-hmm. First, the CDC says that vaccinated people are safe to go maskless indoors. And second, Governor Abbott is prohibiting government entities from enforcing mask mandates. What does that look like for schools here?
That's one of the big things that we've seen change just here in the past few weeks. So all three of our big K through 12 districts, Lubbock Cooper, Friendship, and Lubbock ISD, have announced some kind of rollback on their mask mandate. When those went into effect kind of vary by district, but definitely for the next school year, mask will be optional at this point. And then Texas Tech has announced that as well. You know, the current guidance from the CDC is that if you have been vaccinated, it is safe to go without. So all of these entities are encouraging, you know, if you want to wear a mask, if you have not been vaccinated, that is still perfectly okay. But we are really to a point that this has become a personal decision. There are very few legal barriers in the way.
Yeah, lots of personal decisions, including vaccines.
Yes, exactly.
So with all of these regulations lifted, is there anything left in place, or are we pretty much back to normal here in Lubbock?
I don't know if I'd say necessarily back to normal. You know, we have so many people who are going to continue to play it safe until we have a little bit more research about how these vaccines are working, things like that. But I think at this point, with both the state level and local level efforts, we're much closer to normal than we were. And this is really, again, this has really become a personal decision on all fronts at this point. We're to a point that you are making the choice that's right for you and right for your health. Some people have pushed for that the entire time throughout the entire pandemic. But, you know, over a year in, I think we're finally there that more people are comfortable with that, and that we're just going to see more of that going forward as we inch towards going back to normal, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, our new normal.
Yes, exactly.
Which everyone keeps saying, like, unprecedented.
Oh, I know. I'm so tired of that word, but it's true. Like, we just, yeah, we're all navigating some uncharted territory. So we'll see what happens next. I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic, though, after a year of so much sadness and so much concern, I think, especially for me, you know, in my reporting, I feel like I'm to a point that I have some optimism about what's next for both this city that I love so much, but also for our time navigating through this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're out of time. I'd like to thank my guests, Mitch Borden from Marfa Public Radio and Sarah Self-Walbrook, our senior reporter. I'll provide links to their coverage on the web post for today's episode. You can find that and all previous episodes of Listen in Lubbock at radio.kttz.org. For Texas Tech Public Media, I'm Casey Ellingson.